Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 8, please. Psalm chapter number 8. Psalm chapter 8. I'm amazed at how good God is to us. I'm amazed at how great God is. God has blessed us so much this week. Just this week, the blessings have been insurpassable. I can't imagine having to do this every week. Our flesh couldn't take it. I mean, really, this is great. Amen? I appreciate the Lord even paying us attention. God, hey, God don't owe you anything. Amen? God don't have to come by. He does it because He loves you. Amen? God don't owe you anything tonight. God just, hey, He's just that kind of God. Amen? Well, I thank God that He would even consider me as unworthy and good for nothing as I am. God would still consider me. Amen? Well, what a great God we serve. What a good God we serve tonight. Amen? Well, I tell you, we don't deserve what we got tonight. Well, if you're sitting here and you're lost going to hell, it's your own fault. Amen? Anybody can't get saved, there's something wrong with them. Amen. I thank God. This has been good. Amen. I appreciate the cooking and the fellowship and all the ditto what all the rest of them said. Amen. This is a great meeting. I enjoy coming here. It's good to come here and get in this meeting. Just to get under the preaching. Amen. And the singing and how it stirs your heart. And you leave here with a zeal and a new hope and a new outlook. And you want to go on a few more days for God. Amen. That's what it's about. Amen. That's what it's for, Brother Kenny, to kind of encourage one another in the faith. Amen. I'll try to give you something to encourage you a little bit tonight. Lord willing, and get out of the way. Psalm chapter number 8. And look at verse number 1. Now, Psalm chapter 8 and verse number 1. The Bible says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. He's hollering that. He's yelling that, amen. He's shouting that. Who has set Thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest kill the enemy and the avenger. I like verse number 3. That's where we're going to park for just a few minutes. Amen. Verse number 3, the Bible says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. I want to just look at verse number 3 for a few minutes tonight. And the Bible said, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers. I won't talk about the finger of God. Amen. The work of thy fingers. You know, fingers are very important instruments on your hand. Amen. Each one of them has different purposes in life, like members of one body. Amen. The fingers have a certain purpose, and each one of them fulfill that function or that purpose. You can do a lot of things with fingers, amen? I mean, you can think with fingers, amen? I mean, some people think with their fingers. You can take your thumb, for instance. You can give a thumbs up, amen? That lets folks know you like what's going on, amen? You can give a thumbs down, amen? That lets them know that you don't much care for it, amen? Or maybe you could just hit your ride if you need one. Amen? I'm telling you, there's a lot of things that you can do with your fingers and your thumb. I mean, take your index finger. That thing right there does a lot of things. You can make a declaration with that finger. Amen. Folks have done that. They've made declarations with that finger. As a matter of fact, not only that, but you can preach with that finger. Amen. That finger will reach folks on the back row in any church. Amen. I mean, think about how great a work can be done with the finger. Amen. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do with that finger right there. I mean, listen, you can make signs with your fingers. Amen. Now, that middle finger there, it ain't worth much. You ever notice how it's always the one in the middle that's cursed? It's always the one in the midst that's cursed. Amen. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Then you got that ring finger. That's where your ring goes. Amen. Anybody knows when you get married, you got to have a ring on that finger. I mean, every one of them's got a purpose. That pinky, I've tried to figure out what it's for. I don't know. I ain't figured that one out. Amen. I don't know what it's for. I've tried and tried, but I prayed and asked God to give me something, but I just couldn't get nothing from Him. Amen. I'm saying these fingers are important. I'm going to tell you something. God has fingers. And God took His fingers. And God created things with His fingers. God fed just by His hand. Feeds all the sparrows and all the birds and all the creatures of the earth and all the creeping things. I'm telling you, but you know what God did? God wrote with His finger. God wrote some things with His finger. That's what I want to deal with tonight just for a little while. About three times in your Bible, God wrote with His finger. And we'll look at those real quick and get out of the way. Amen. I know some of you might write with your finger if you had paint. Might do some finger painting. Amen. I mean, that's one way of looking at it. Some of you might write in the sand or something, but that wouldn't last very long. Wind blow it all away. I mean, but God wrote with His finger. Can you imagine that? That's power, amen. I mean, you know what? The Bible says in Exodus 31 that God wrote on the mountain with His finger, amen. Moses, you know the story. I went up there and God, the Bible said God wrote the commandments on the front and the back. Think on that in a while, amen. God took His finger. You say, what? He wrote law on the mountain. I mean, that's what He did. Amen. Moses was up there and God gave him the Ten Commandments. You know the story while he was gone. They created that golden calf. They said, we want not what's become of Moses. And so they start. They created a God to worship. Isn't that what we do today? Amen. We no sooner get out of church, bless God, and we're creating our own gods and we're worshiping other gods. Amen. Come on now, you were shouting while they's a singing, amen. Did I kill it, amen? I'm trying to preach a little glory message. We can get mean if you want to. I'm telling you, He wrote law on the mountain. Amen. He wrote the Ten Commandments. And Moses started down the mountain. And Joshua was with him, and Joshua said, hey, you hear that? I hear some. Sound like there's a war going on. And Moses said, that ain't a war. There's a singing going on in the clan. They're having a party. And he got down there, and sure enough, they had made this calf, this golden calf. And now they worship in this calf and singing and taking their clothes off, just like we do today. Amen. And so Moses, he did the only thing he should have done. He just threw them commandments down and bust them all to pieces. You say, what's the significance? If he hadn't, God would kill them all. If he hadn't destroyed them commandments, God would have killed all of them. Because they told God, they said, Moses, whatever he says, we'll do it. That was before they got the tabernacle. That was before they had a mercy seat. That was before they had somewhere to take their sin. Amen. They said, whatever He says, that's what we're going to do. I'm telling you something. He had to break those commandments or else God would have had to kill all of them. Next time He got them after they had a mercy seat. I'm just trying to help you a little bit. I'm telling you, he wrote law on the mountain of God. Amen. He brought those things down there. And he, you know what they did? He found the priest. He found the preacher. Aaron. He found Aaron. And here, I want you to hear what this preacher said. This don't cost you nothing. He said, what in the world have you done, son? He said, I don't know. I just told them to break off their gold and their earrings and their nose rings and all that stuff. He said, I throwed it in the fire and out popped this calf. I didn't have nothing to do with it. I didn't have a spade. I didn't chip away at nothing. All I did was throw in this and out popped this calf. Ain't that the way we do today? Amen. We're always first to blame God for it, amen, or our circumstance. We don't ever blame ourselves, amen. This world, this country ain't going to get no better till we start taking responsibility for ourselves, amen, and our own sinful life. Well, anyway, he took his finger and wrote law on the mountain. Not only that, in Daniel chapter 5, he wrote judgment on the wall. Amen. This old king one time, he decided to throw himself a party. And he called all the dignitaries. And he had himself a big shindig. That's what we call it in South Alabama. Amen. He had him one of them big old shindigs. And man, all the governors was there and all the hootenannies and whatnots and all that. Hey, they were all, anybody that was anybody was present. And man, he wanted to impress them, you see. And so he said, you know what I think I need to do? He said, we need to go over there to God where we had this stuff stored up from the house of God. And we need to bring it over here, them golden goblets and all them chalices and all that stuff, them offering plates. And we need to bring them over here. And we need to drink wine out of them cups. You say, what did he do? He blasphemed the things of God. He made mockery of the things of God. Hey, you know what he did? He was having his big party, and he had God's stuff. He had things that were dedicated to God. Things that were set apart for God. You say, that's not important. That's not really. God don't look at. Hey, you better be careful. You know what he did? He killed a man and his entire family in Joshua chapter 7, I believe it was. Just because he kept back what was God's. He kept back part of the tithe. Look it up and see. Amen. That's what the curse. Hey, God said, you better not touch it. It's an accursed thing. You know why it was cursed? Because it was God's. It was set apart for God. Amen. And these cups were set apart for God. And this drunken crowd, this orgy crowd, this blasphemous crowd, they took and put liquor and wine and beer, all kind of that trash and filth in God's goblets. Amen. And they're sitting there making fun of the Most High God. About that time, he's sitting there feeling real big and high, and all of a sudden a hand came over by the lampstand and started writing. God's finger wrote judgment on the wall. You say, what did he write? He wrote, this is Latin, Hebrew, and Aramaic. Amen. This won't work in your King James Bible. He wrote, meeny, meeny, to kill you for sin. He wrote judgment on the wall. All of a sudden, that man got Daniel in there to read it. And Daniel said, hey, I can understand it. Well, we got all these magicians and wise men. They can't figure it out. What does it mean, Daniel? He said, oh, that's easy. That's King James Version. I can read God's writing. Amen. He said, that says you've been weighed in the balance and found wanting. Amen. And you better set your house in order. You're fixing to die. About that time, his knees started smoking again. If you ever wanted to peel off fingernails, that would have been a good time to do it. Amen. Been like a wood chipper. Amen. He was scared. He was shaking and rattling. And about, it wasn't much longer after that, he was gone. You say, what was that? God's judgment. Hey, listen to me. God wrote the law on the mountain. And he wrote judgment on the wall. Amen. Over in John chapter 8, they brought an old gal. They had caught her red-handed in adultery. I ain't figured out yet how they just caught her. They caught her in adultery red-handed. That's like your hand in a cookie jar. Amen. And they grabbed her and pulled her down there, threw her down in front of Jesus, and said, "The law says this is what's got to be done. What do you say?" Boy, I tell you, I like that part right there. I like this part. Amen. I'm telling you, God wrote law on the mountain, amen. And God wrote judgment on the wall in the king's palace. But I'm here to tell you, not God wrote grace in the dirt, amen. God wrote grace in the dirt, bless God. Hey, listen, you say, preacher, what do you mean? I'm telling you, not. You know what I'm looking at? I'm looking at dirt, amen. I'm looking at dirt over here and dirt back there. And dirt over yonder, and dirt back there, and dirt over there, and dirt over yonder. And God wrote grace, grace, marvelous grace in the dirt. Amen. Bible says you ain't nothing but dust. You just dirt. We live in a world, everywhere you go, it's just dirt. Amen. Go down to the supermarket and it's dirt. Amen. Go to Walmart and it's dirt. Everywhere you look, it's just dirt. I mean, we're just full of dirt. Amen. We're made of the dirt. We're made of the dust of the ground. And the only thing good about you is the breath of God. Are you hearing me tonight? Hey, I'm telling you, He wrote grace in the dirt. Amen. You don't deserve to be here. You're unworthy to praise Him. You're not good enough to embark upon His presence. Amen. You don't deserve to come into His throne room. Hey, hey, hey. I'm telling you something, bless God. But God Himself took His mighty finger and stooped down and wrote grace in a dirty black heart and gave it life. Amen. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sins. He wrote grace in the dirt. You know what your problem is? You think you're something. You know why you're so easily offended? Because you think you're something size dirt. You know why you always carry a grudge around? You know why you always carrying a chip on your shoulder? Because you think you're something size dirt. Hello. You ain't nothing but dirt. Don't flatter yourself. Amen. I'm telling you something, dear God. Hey, we'd be better off. Our homes would be better off. Our churches would be better off. Our lives would be better off if we just remember where God brought us from and realize I'm nothing but dirt. But one day in 1986, God came by my way and He wrote with a mighty finger of God. He wrote grace in the dirt. Amen. He wrote grace in the black dirt, in an old black heart. Our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. Amen. Who can know them? God knows them. Amen. We are just nothing but old, ungodly, good-for-nothing dirt. Are you hearing me? Are you with me? You don't really believe me. You get to sweating up like I'm doing right now. After a while, I'll go home, take my white handkerchief, and do my neck like that, and it'll be dirt. You say, why is that, preacher? Because I'm made of dirt. That's all you are is dirt. You hear me tonight? I'm telling you, hey, God wrote grace in an old black heart. I remember one time I was preaching a tent meeting over in Gastonia, North Carolina. Man, we were sitting there. I had more saved outside the meeting than I did inside. Couldn't hardly get folks, a lot of them, to come to, especially church folks. They was too godly to come to the tent meeting. Didn't want to get dirty. I'm telling you, I'd have a meeting, close a meeting. I'd get my rocking chair. I believe everybody ought to have a rocking chair. I got one in every room. I believe it's a sin if you don't have a rocking chair. Man, I got two in my living room. You ought to have a rocking chair, everybody. I believe there'd be rocking chairs in heaven. Amen. I mean, dear, my sister got me a shirt for my birthday. Says I rock. Got a rocking chair on it. I was going to wear it, but you ain't supposed to wear stuff written on your shirt in church, you know. Hey, listen to me. See me at the church, bud. Hey, I'm talking about a black heart. I was sitting there in the rocking chair after the meeting one night. And just had one of the lights on under the tent. And man, we had a good meeting that evening. Thunderstorm before every service that week. Man, just God just blew through. And, you know, I remember one evening I was out there holding on to a ripcord. And the tent was just lifting me about that far off the ground. And I was praying and crying and begging God. And finally I wised up. I throwed that ripcord up in there. I said, God, what am I doing? This is your tent. I said, if you want to blow it away, blow it away. I'm going to lay down. What you do, preacher? I went and laid down. You know what? It's still sitting there next morning. God takes care of His. He don't need you. I was sitting out there one night, and here come, I heard Him when He come down the street, and for some reason I knowed He was coming right to me. I could hear it coming, 10 miles down the highway. I mean, that old hog was a thumping, and man, he pulled up in the yard there, pulled right up almost under the tent, and cut that thing off and come walking in. And so help me under God, I'm telling you, that boy, Brother Jack, you're a big old drink of water, son. That I believe that's your boy there. He was a big one. And he had one of them log chains, you know, and then had him on one of them Ride to Live and Live to Ride, one of them old beards about down to here and hair twice as long and all kinds of rubber bands in there, looked like a sissy. Of course, I wasn't going to tell him that, you understand? And I thought, oh, dear God, been preaching, working all day, preaching all night, putting up the tent, worrying with the curtains. And now I got to put up with this. I said, God, what are you trying to do to me? And he come walking in the tent. He said, hey, you're the preacher. I said, no, he's out back. I said, I recognize him. I figured all the thing I could do was bluff. He said, he broke down in tears. He said, my name's Charlie. He said, I need some help. I'm going to lose my mind, preacher. I brought Charlie over and sat him down. He's like a little kid. I sat him down in the chair and I said, Charlie. And I began to tell him what God did for me. I began to tell him how I'd lost my home and lost my job and ruined my life, wrecked everything I had. I sat there about 30, 45 minutes and I told Charlie what Jesus could do for him. Charlie looked up at me. He said, preacher, snot running and tears. He said, preacher, you reckon He'd save me? I said, I reckon he would. Old Charlie got down there in the sawdust and began to pray. I never heard a prayer like that in my life. Even I didn't pray that good. He said, God, this is Charlie. He said, oh, God, I'm a sinner going to hell. Oh, God, would you save me? And he started throwing sawdust in his head. Just throwing sawdust on him. He said, oh, God, dropping puddles down in front of him. You say, preacher, what happened? Did he get saved? I don't know. But I know if I'd been God, I'd have saved him. I'll tell you what he did. He got up and I could see a different expression on his face. You know what he did? Next night he came back and brought his family. About 3 or 4 days went by, he came back and had a haircut. I didn't have to preach on it. I didn't have to stomp him or beat him up. Hey, I just preached God, amen. Just stayed in the book, amen. And God fixed his life, amen. Hey, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, hey, he wrote law on the mountain, and he wrote judgment on the wall, but he wrote grace, grace, marvelous grace in the dirt, amen. He wrote grace for a black heart. He wrote grace for a broken heart. I came home from work one day. I walked in the door. My wife was sitting in the kitchen floor, squalling like a baby. I know some of you got problems. Listen, I've been in this thing long enough. There ain't none of us in here hadn't been hit by something. And if you hadn't, you just hang on. Everybody in here has got a great story to tell. She sat there and she cried. And I said, oh, my heart broke. Oh, my heart broke. I said, honey, what's the matter? I never seen my wife cry like that. I mean, just over a broken heart. And she began to tell me how she took Tristan to the doctor and how they had told her that he had cystic fibrosis and he wouldn't see 12, age of 12. I mean, that's something to have to tell a lady when, you know, by herself. And I wanted to go down and punch the lights out. I did. All kind of emotions. And she was sitting there. She was weeping, and we prayed and prayed, and we decided to take him have another test. And we took him to have another test, and sure enough, the same test, they said he's got cystic fibrosis. He's not going to live very long. He was about 4 years old at the time, maybe five. And we just, I mean, just brokenhearted. Just, I don't know how you do things, but if you ever get desperate, if you ever really get desperate for something from God, people won't bother you. It won't embarrass you to ask for prayer. Everywhere I went, Brother Charlie, everywhere I went, I'd stop by the drive-thru at McDonald's. And I'd say, hey, you go to church? Yeah, yes, sir. How about praying for my boy? I had to go to Walmart and ask the cashier, would you mind putting him on your prayer list? I didn't know if he was saved or not. It didn't make no difference. They could get a hold of God. I want somebody to get a hold of God. We went to test after test. We just would not take that for an answer. I mean, 4 or 5 tests. And finally, one day, they said, let's just take him to Charleston, South Carolina. And they took him down here to Charleston. And that's where the experts were. We'll find out. Now, I prayed the hardest prayer I ever prayed in my life. I can't tell you how devastating it was to my heart. But I said, God, I said, that boy's not old enough to know what salvation is. I said, but Lord, if you'll see fit to save him one day and maybe do something with his life, I said, I wish you'd just spare him. I said, but God, I said, if you don't think he'll live for you, if he's not going to grow up and be a man of God, if he's not going to live for God, I said, if he's not going to be saved, just go ahead and take him on. Are you talking about something hard to pray? And I had to work out of town. I went out of town. My wife and her sister, they took him down to Charleston. They wouldn't let me get off work. We just had every few minutes on the phone. Everywhere we stopped, asking people to pray. That afternoon, my wife called me, and I could tell there was something different about the phone. When the phone rang, it sounded different. And she said, you ain't going to believe what I just heard. I said, yeah, I know what you heard. She said, what I hear? I said, he don't have no cystic fibrosis. She said, doctor said, they gave him the best test they could give. They said, he just got asthma. Just send him home. He'll be all right. Six tests. All of them were positive. I'm talking about grace for a broken heart. Hey, my boy tonight is not living for God. That other part wasn't the grace part. This is grace. He's rebelled and now he's out in the world. Oh, I know he's saved. So how do you know, preacher? Because he's been on rock bottom forever. He's miserable and God's fixing to kill him. Or maybe he'll just answer that prayer. Can I say something? I'm not trying to, I'll quit, brother. Listen to me. Mama, let me tell you something. You hear me tonight. Don't you quit praying for that boy. Don't you give up on that boy. I don't care what them preachers said. I don't care what your friend said. I don't care what that church said. Hey, you keep praying and trusting that book and counting on the promises of God and let God fulfill them. Amen. You say, what do you mean? I mean, there's grace for a broken heart. Amen. God knows how to fix it. God knows how to make it work out all right. I ain't giving up. One of these days, just like that somebody said this week, hey, every morning and every evening and every afternoon, I look down that road, amen, and I know I'm going to see, come home to God. Hallelujah to God. It's going to be worth it after a while, amen. You say, why? Grace in the dirt. I'm talking about the finger of God. You don't mess with the finger of God, folks. It's grace for a black heart. Grace for a broken heart. I'll hurry. Let me just say this. There's grace for a blaspheming heart. One time when I was out in sin, unsaved, wicked is the devil. This is just one time. I could name you time after time. When God came to me and protected me as a lost man. When I didn't know who it was and what he was doing. I remember one night, I used to ride by the church where I now belong to. Or I'm a pastor now in Alabama, but I used to belong in North Carolina to my uncle's church. I used to ride by there every day just about. And I'd ride by there and cuss and make fun of them. Laugh at them. Look at them bunch of fanatics up there. Look at them bunch of hypocrites. Look at them bunch of idiots up there. And I'd make fun of them all week, just ride by week after week and month after month. And then one night I went out and ruined myself one night. And we were sitting in a pizza inn. Me and four or five other friends. Brother Jack, I'm going to say this with shame now. You listen to me. We had too much. And I remember that night when I stood up in the seat in that pizza inn. And it was crowded and full of folks. And I sang four verses of Amazing Grace. Drunk out of my mind. Upchucked all over my food. And you know them idiots applauded me. Now, let me tell you something. You listen to me. God should have snapped my neck right there. God should have broke my neck and flung me in hell. He should have grabbed me by the nape of my head and threw me in the halls of the damned. But mercy came by and grace took the finger and wrote in the dirt that night. Amen. Thank God for the grace of God when you blaspheme Him. Amen. You better thank God tonight. Amen.